KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy, and we're at 36 degrees. We look forward to be cloudy today with a light rain or snow mix, and a high right around 36 with winds north of 10 to 20. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. And again, a reminder that a winter weather advisory goes into effect for those far west and southwest Iowa counties, including Harrison, Shelby, Pottawatomie, Mills, Montgomery, Fremont, and Page, beginning at 9 a.m., and that'll run through noon on Saturday. The rest of the listening area will have the winter weather advisory in effect beginning at 6 p.m. and running until 6 p.m. on Saturday. In the news, a study conducted by the Iowa and National Restaurant Associations confirms the fears about the impact of COVID shutdowns on the industry. The president of the Iowa Association, Jessica Dunker, said the pandemic has been devastating to the industry.
We had entered 2020 with the hope of a $4.4 billion industry in the state of Iowa. We are expecting to be $1.4 billion under that, so we're expecting that level of loss. The average restaurant is seeing at least 33% in decrease.
Dunker says that's not the end of it for the more than 6,000 restaurants, bars, and other venues that serve food and beverages.
The frightening thing is that 88% of Iowa operators expect to see an even bigger decrease in sales over the next 3 months.
Dunker says winter will shut off the outside dining that has helped some businesses continue to operate. You may go by some establishments and see long lines at their drive-thrus, and Dunker says they're the ones that have been able to deal with the pandemic restrictions.
We feel like any restaurant that had drive-thru in place when the COVID measures started to be put in place by the states had a tremendous advantage, and many of those are actually seeing increases in sales this year. And so when we talk about these kinds of losses, the drive-thrus are doing fine. And the people that were always set up as a carryout and delivery, they're doing fine.
Dunker said the COVID restrictions have hurt the establishments that offer an experience.
It's really about the ambience, the environment, as well as food that presents beautifully when you get it straight from the kitchen. Those are the people who were not able to quickly turn their business model into something that would translate well for carryout or delivery.
She said 61% of people surveyed say they are looking for an experience when they eat out. Dunker says they predicted early on they might lose 1,000 restaurants.
We started out hoping we were wrong, that it wouldn't get to 1,000. Now we hope that our numbers were right and that we'll only get to 1,000.
The Iowa Restaurant Association has joined thousands of small business advocacy organizations across the nation in calling for the federal government to immediately pass a relief bill, which includes additional Paycheck Protection Program grants. Dunker says they're also asking state agencies and lawmakers to create relief measures, including directing additional CARES Act money towards small business grants, forgiving and or deferring sales and payroll taxes, and giving a minimum of 1 year respite on alcohol and other state license fees.
41% of operators say they don't see how they can stay in business for another 6 months if federal programs aren't renewed.
Dunker says encouraging operators across the state to contact their state and federal lawmakers throughout this month of December and invite them to their businesses to see firsthand the toll that COVID-19 has taken. Iowa hospitals with no room to admit more patients now have a new resource for finding a hospital willing to accept a patient transfer. Bob Ritz, CEO of Mercy One in Des Moines, says the Iowa hospital transfer line was recently set up for that purpose.
You know, hospitals often transfer patients to another hospital for a different level of care. And we do that all the time. But during the pandemic, with these episodic waves of infections and surges, the bed supply gets tighter. And that the difficulty in transfer of a patient is remarkably different.
Ritz said the new population of patients with COVID has presented a challenge to Iowa hospitals over the past 9 months.
An individual at a hospital will make a phone call to another hospital, and they usually have those hospitals they call. But when the bed supply tightens up in urban and rural Iowa, those calls become many. And the complexity of that process can be really disheartening.
To address that, a single telephone number has been established, and Ritz said the Iowa National Guard soldiers are answering the new hospital transfer line.
Coordinating the care of patients that have COVID diagnosis and acute care patients that also need access to care.
According to the Centers for Disease Control Analysis, about 80% of COVID patients that were transferred in April were taken to a hospital outside the network where the patient was originally admitted. And COVID hospitalization rates have declined in recent days, but the CEO of the state's largest hospital says you shouldn't ease up on prevention measures. University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics CEO Suresh Gunasekaran said that Iowa avoided the feared post-holiday increase.
I think it would be safe to say that we have dodged a big spike. You know, the runaway event that we thought for Thanksgiving doesn't seem to be happening either in Johnson County or statewide.
Gunasekaran said the numbers need to continue going down.
We're on a plateau, not on a sufficient decline. So I think that, you know, we continue to be concerned.
And he says that there wasn't a spike, but the numbers are not where they were when the cases dipped this summer.
We've had a lot of discussions in the fall about how high Iowa has been, but frankly, in the summer, we weren't in the top 10 or top 20 or those kinds of things, while many other states around the country were. So I still think we have a little bit more to go, but I do feel a little bit more positive now than I did a month ago.
Gunasekaran says there's going to be an opportunity for a potential spike if people don't stick to the guidelines during the Christmas holiday. The number of COVID patients in Iowa dropped to below 1,000 after hitting record highs of more than 1,500 in mid-November. Officials of the Creston Police Department this morning report the arrest at around 1:30 p.m. Tuesday of 45-year-old Alicia Marie Peckham from Creston. Peckham was arrested at her home on a charge of failure to abate a nuisance. She was given a summons to appear in court. Authorities say also a woman residing in the 600 block of North Pine Street in Creston had reported Thursday morning that someone had stolen her Christmas decorations, which included two candy canes and one candlestick. The loss was estimated at $60, and a man residing in the 1100 block of West Montgomery Street in Creston reported Thursday that a package containing 48 exotic tea bags was missing from his front porch. The loss was estimated at $70. The Glenwood Police Department says 23-year-old Dakota Swain of Glenwood was arrested Tuesday. Swain was taken into custody on a Mills County warrant for domestic abuse assault first offense. His cash-only bond was set at $300. And there were no injuries reported following a collision Tuesday morning in Glenwood. Authorities say a 2006 Pontiac G6 driven by 19-year-old Owen Riley Smith of Glenwood was traveling south from a stop sign at Sharp and Lynn Streets at around 7:35 a.m. as a 2013 Hyundai Elantra driven by 33-year-old Jordan Scott Butel of Glenwood was traveling east on Sharp Street with no signals or signs and having the right-of-way. Smith told police he didn't see Butel's car and began to cross Sharp Street from the stop sign. Butel did not have time to take evasive action. His car hit the Pontiac and continued on before hitting a 2014 Dodge Durango, which was parked on the Best Finish Autos car sales lot. Police say no citations were issued. Damage during the accident amounted to $11,500. The news was brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments. They're located at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Give them a call at 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.